Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the second hour of the show. This hour, we have Dr. John Grady in the studio with Mrs. Future and myself. John is a physician, private practice physician, who has just got off of the night shift. I guess you were on emergency duty last night?
Correct. I also work in the emergency department at Dominican Hospital.
All right. So you're the guy we might run into if we're there late at night sometime.
Yes.
This is John Grady. Welcome, John, to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
You started a new medical clinic in town that is involved with a lot of what many would consider cutting-edge renaissance technologies, like stem cell therapies and such. And we wanted to ask you to get a little more clarity on this, because we're hearing more and more about stem cell therapies all the time, and there's also more and more warning of potential fraud with these things. And I wanted to educate our audience a little bit about what's real and what's edgy and what's what in this world. So how would you best start in trying to explain stem cell therapy to the public at this point?
Well, stem cell therapy is just the latest derivation of prolotherapy.
Prolo being stem cell therapy, right?
Well, prolotherapy is actually several things. Prolotherapy is basically just trying to create inflammation in your tissues and generate healing, your own body's natural healing. And prolotherapy has been around for 50 years. And it's just using dextrose and to inflame the tissues a little bit and create some new healing. Then many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, platelet-rich plasma was the latest, greatest. And that was taking a person's own blood, spinning down platelets and plasma, so getting rid of the red blood cells and the white blood cells, and taking so your own blood, your own plasma and platelets, and injecting that as a pro-inflammatory agent into areas where you want additional healing.
So that's been used for how long now?
Maybe 20 years, something like that. I don't have an exact figure, but it's been around for a long time.
And that's been successful?
Yes, many people have used that successfully, and it's a little bit more expensive than prolotherapy, but still a very inexpensive procedure to do, you know, out-of-pocket costs. Stem cell is the latest and greatest, and that's quite a bit more expensive, just there's a lot more hard costs involved to acquire stem cells. Mm-hmm. But it's been done by orthopedic surgeons for over 10 years and very successfully. A lot of big-name athletes have used it. I think as we were just talking before we came on the air, there's a couple of different sources you can use, bone marrow or adipose tissue for stem cells.
Adipose being the fat tissue.
Correct. So essentially a little mini tummy tuck with a liposuction needle. You would think it'd be very painful to take bone marrow, but actually they take it from the back of your hip and it's not very painful. It's about the same recovery time as taking it from the abdomen.
And both work for treatment.
Correct. And the reason it's kind of been a slow, almost a cottage industry for 10 years now is there's not any protocol or recipe that everyone agrees is the best.
Because the field of regenerative medicine is still pretty young.
Correct. And there's so much, it's so complicated how we heal, and our immune system is so complicated. The cytokines involved, the growth factors, how you direct stem cells to differentiate into one line of cells versus another. It's really a burgeoning field.
But there have been some procedures that have been refined enough that you can offer to the public at this point in time. Like arthritis. A lot of people have arthritic conditions, and I understand that. That's one of the arenas to explore.
Then we're still not sure what is going to be better for a certain, say you have a shoulder that dislocates several times. Is it better just to use platelet-rich plasma, or should we throw in stem cells to see if we can help kind of regenerate some of the cartilage and tighten up those ligaments? Could the prolotherapy be enough just injecting around the tendons and insertion points around the shoulder, not even in the joint? Could that tighten things up and have an equal outcome? It's still not proven because we don't have a systemized way. Like they always talk about, the best evidence is double-blinded, randomized clinical trials. Those are very difficult to do.
But who wants to be
Exactly.
Who wants to be in the placebo group?
The placebo group. Yes.
Oh, you gave me some Prolo and I'm still in pain.
Well, it was sugar water.
Exactly. And as you can get an idea, there's so many different combinations. it can be hard to blind people to what you're doing, too, and blind the provider in what they're doing.
And from what I've read is that it works with some people and not with others, and it's not really clear why that's the case.
Correct. In general, people do get some benefit. Whether they get enough benefit to put off that surgery they were trying to put off forever and ever is a question. Do they get benefit for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, years? It's still kind
still
of
still unfolding.
Exactly.
Right. Well, we're in the studio with Dr. John Grady talking about stem cell therapies. We'll be back after the break.
Dr. Future Show. Stay tuned.
Just what I needed, yeah. Hey, we're back with Dr. John Grady, talking about stem cell therapies, the latest and the greatest in that world, and what's available in a clinic here in town, which John has helped start. So welcome back to the show, John.
Thank you.
Now, one of the things that I've been wondering about is there's a kind of stem cell therapy called autologous.
Correct.
Can you tell us what that means?
Autologous just means it's coming from your own body.
Okay.
So platelet-rich plasma and stem cell, both are autologous because they're taking your own tissues, your own blood, and using that.
So you don't have rejection issues then with...
Correct, exactly. Uh-huh. No worry about allergic reactions, unexpected inflammatory responses.
Now, as a private practice physician, you're allowed to do that type of therapy openly, right?
Correct.
That's now mainstream.
But my question is, why is the blood better for you if you take it out and put it back in again? What do you do to it?
We don't do much other than, as I mentioned before, taking out the red blood cells and the white blood cells. But there's all kinds of growth factors, cytokines, things that help with your healing process. And it is very complicated. We don't understand all of it. But there's different kinds of cytokines and growth factors in different kinds of tissue. So even the platelet poor plasma, which is after you use the plasma that has platelets in it, you've used that for a joint, you still have platelet poor plasma, which is just those cytokines, growth factor, and fluid, like salt water, basically. And even that fluid has a lot of good potential for use in areas. If we can use the body's natural healing process in the way we want, we can do a lot.
So let me just ask you some kind of doctor-type questions. Like, what is the role of inflammation in the healing process?
It's a very good question. It is the healing process. I mean, inflammation is what heals. So the question is, how much is too much and how much is enough?
Like aspirin is anti-inflammatory, right?
Correct. And they call them the NSAIDs. So the Aleves, Excedrins, Motrins of the world are all non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. And then the steroidal anti-inflammatories would be your cortisone injections, your prednisone, medications like that.
So inflammation, it generally is where something's sort of swollen. It may be a little painful. It may be a little hot, right? Those are all signs of inflammation.
Correct. Well, that's not the only signs, but that's the signs of the acute inflammatory response, which a lot of that is derived by things like neutrophils, which are kind of indiscriminate attacking everything that they think is foreign. So there's a huge inflammatory response that can be somewhat destructive, and that's where you get that warmth, that swelling, the pain, is all these cells are migrating to the area, and they're bringing in all this fluid and pressure and growth molecules and inflammatory molecules, and it's not really well directed at that point. It's kind of a shotgun approach the body has to, something's wrong, let's go after it. The body doesn't know whether it's an infection or an injury, and it's kind of treating it right away like the same.
Okay, so it just means like the body's on alert and it's throwing everything it has at it, trying to fix it.
Until it can figure out what's actually going on.
Uh-huh. And so how do you make use of that in the stem cell therapy process?
In stem cell therapy, you're using some of those growth factors and cytokines, which are kind of fueling the cells that are already there. So an example would be in joints, you have fibroblasts that build things like ligament tissue and tendon tissue. You have chondroblasts that build cartilage, osteoblasts that build a bone. So with platelet-rich plasma, you're fueling those, giving them more energy, more supplies to work with. With stem cells, you're actually adding more soldiers. You're hoping these stem cells differentiate into those kind of cell lines that you want to regenerate the tissue.
Mm-hmm. Like with arthritis, what exactly is happening that makes it painful? Is the bone wearing out or the joint material? wearing down?
A number of things. You are getting, they call it calcification of some of these tissues. So the
they get hardened.
Hardened, yep. So if you look on x-rays, as you get older and older, you can see little, they call it bone spicules, but little pieces of bone that are kind of growing off the bone, but it's actually calcification of tendon and ligament tissue. And those can break. Those can cause just any tendon ligament stretching and pulling to be more painful because now it's actually less flexible, much less.
So are there approaches where you clean away those components or try to dissolve them or something like that?
It's pretty difficult to do. Yeah. There are areas where you can clean away these kind of osteophytes, as they call them, but a lot of times, you know, you'd have to be severing tendons and ligaments to do it. And
so how does the stem cell fix that then?
Let's call it prolo. I think we call it stem cell but we mean prolo.
Some people would call stem cell therapy a biogenic prolotherapy because your biogenics being the stem cells. They go under a number of different terms, but stem cells, again, you're trying to increase the number of cells around the area, these fibroblasts, chondroblasts, that are going to tear down old tissue, including dissolving bone in some cases. So they're going to dissolve some of this bone, they're going to dissolve some of the torn ligament or tendon tissue and lay down new fibers, new tissue.
So it's a repair mechanism that you're building up then.
Exactly.
So the stem cell will build up the body's repair, which I gather degrades with the aging process.
Correct.
I kind of think that there's some kind of little DNA map and that what you're doing is taking new maps and putting them in places where the old maps have disintegrated for some reason. And so it has a reminder of what it looked like when it was healthy.
Yep. The tissues, they have that kind of structure already. There's already the bone structure there, and there's some tendon and ligament tissue there. So they do have some instructions there. But yeah, they're kind of following the instructions and just saying, hey, maybe there is something wrong here after all, because you're regenerating that inflammatory response and saying, no, we're not done healing. Maybe we short-circuited the healing by taking cortisone or too many anti-inflammatories, and we need to restart it.
Oh, so it helps the body acknowledge that there's a problem.
Exactly.
And then it starts over with trying to fix it.
Exactly.
I see.
Can this replace surgery as an option?
You don't want to make promises like that, but in some cases it can. It's certainly a worthy avenue to look at holding off surgery.
What would you say the most likely types of cases would fit in that category?
Joints, for sure. Knees, hips, elbows.
Hip replacements?
Shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, really, people usually get those kinds of surgery because they're in pain, right?
Correct. Painful and limited motion. They maybe used to do activities that they can't do any longer. They may not have the flexibility. And pain is a huge, huge issue, though, for sure. Probably the number one.
Mm-hmm. So, typically, in a non-prolotherapy, the first course of action would be to numb out the pain somehow.
Correct.
And then followed by trying to replace whatever the parts are that seem to be broken.
Yep, and by restarting that healing process, a lot of times we're at least taking away the pain, but in many cases we are getting better function.
And can't inflammation increase pain a little bit too?
I mean, initially.
Yeah.
That acute inflammatory response is only going to last for a few days at most.
So that's when you first get the prolo injections.
Right, exactly. And then the healing, once with that pro-inflammatory response, we're stimulating that natural healing response. And that natural healing response can last for weeks. So we, a lot of times, will say don't expect to get to the peak results for 2 to 4 weeks. So it's not something you want to come back and get a repeat treatment in a week or two because we have no idea where the endpoint is. You may have a lot more healing and benefit from that initial treatment up to a month out.
Now, I noticed you have a hyperbolic chamber, baric chamber?
Hyperbaric oxygen.
Hyperbaric oxygen. Mm-hmm. Now, how does that work with the stem cell therapy?
With actually low pressure, so you don't need a real high pressure chamber, but just even a little bit of extra oxygen and under pressure, you can increase the yield of stem cells that you get from adipose in bone marrow tissue. It's more of an adjunct therapy. Most stem cell providers don't actually use hyperbaric with it, but it is known that you can increase your yield. And if you're getting a small amount of bone marrow, a small amount of adipose tissue, and you want to get the most stem cells you can, it's a benefit.
Good way to do it. Mm-hmm. What else do you use the chamber for?
For wound care, it's very good for patients that don't have very good vascular flow to an area. poor wound healing can be from radiation therapy after cancer, can be from diabetes, can be just from peripheral vascular disease. And it works very well for that. We also use it a lot for things like chronic headaches, migraines, traumatic brain injuries. And there is more and more evidence that it's good for even things like chronic depression and other issues, other injuries as well. The traditional things, the things I was taught in residency how to use it for were toxicology, for carbon monoxide poisoning, for diving nitrous.
Nitrous bends.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. But more and more we're finding that it can have some benefit. We have a patient actually coming in here very shortly. They just want to give their lungs a little break. They've advanced COPD and they're on oxygen around the clock, and they feel definitely a boost of energy and feel better coming out of the hyperbaric chamber.
Very interesting. Hey, we're talking to Dr. John Grady of the Harbor Medical Clinic here in Santa Cruz. We'll go more into some of the therapies that they're exploring in the areas of prolo and stem cell and hyperbaric chambers
and regenerative healing modalities for getting better.
If you have any questions, give us a call at 831-479-1080, and I'm sure John would be happy to answer your questions. Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking to Dr. John Grady on stem cell therapy and related therapies in his new clinic, the Harbor Clinic here in Santa Cruz. So do we get some callers, Mrs. Future?
We do. Very patiently. Georgia, welcome to the show.
Hey, Georgia.
Thanks, Futures. I just wanted to say that I know someone who had stem cell surgery on her knee to repair a shredded meniscus 5 years ago, and it has worked beautifully. And my understanding is, Dr. John, the FDA has approved this, but the insurance companies haven't signed on. Do you have any idea when that will happen?
That is a very good question. The orthopedic surgeons have really jumped in behind stem cell therapy, and I even have known some orthopedic surgeons that have their practice used to be 90% surgery and now it's 90% stem cell. So that kind of push behind it, I think, will change things. And insurance companies, they just need to see good evidence, which means numbers of patients that are getting the benefit can save so much money from not having done surgery. I think it's just going to take time. Like many of these new procedures and techniques just take some time.
Her surgery only cost $5,000, which to me is a bargain when you think about what knee surgery, you know, usually costs. And the benefits have been tremendous for her because actually she is not bone on bone. She has a real meniscus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your costs for this surgery are things like fairly expensive, but much less expensive relatively, but needles for getting stem cells from adipose tissue and bone marrow are a 20th the cost of the hardware that we have to put in someone's joint to replace it.
Right. Well, good luck with this, and let's hope that the insurance people get wise and sign on. Thank you so much for this today.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Georgia.
Thank you. Call, Georgia. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Michael in Boulder Creek. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hello, Dr. Futures.
Hey, Mr. Moore, how you doing?
Fine. So the question has to do with asthma. I've been trying all kinds of things to make mine better. I tried something called EWOT, or exercise with oxygen therapy, where you break a sweat while you're breathing in 15 liters a minute of 90% oxygen. That gets mixed in with the regular air. That did not help the asthma. It might have done lots of other good things, but not the asthma. So the question is there some therapy that would involve stem cells or any other thing that you can think of that would actually help asthma that you're aware of?
Unfortunately, prolotherapy in all of its derivations is not really applicable at this point, based on what we know, to asthma. Asthma is your own immune system being overreactive, almost like an autoimmune disease like lupus or sarcoidosis or rheumatoid arthritis, but it's just in the airway tissue. So it is, the inflammatory process is healthy. In fact, it's too healthy. It's too trigger happy. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the prolotherapy is not good at toning down an overactive or trigger happy immune system. And getting to the lung tissue is also something that prolotherapy is not really good at. It's more of an injection into a joint, tendon, ligament territory.
But the oxygen in the hyperbaric chamber, would that help?
I don't know. Haven't used it for that. Mm-hmm. And like your caller, said, there's not really a lot of evidence behind it.
Hmm. Sounds like you're too healthy, Michael.
There's another question. Injected stem cells evidently find inflammation and then go to work trying to fix it. But I'm assuming that because mine's not consistent, only active when I get triggered, that injected stem cells wouldn't actually help me either.
Correct. Getting the stem cells to the right area and then telling them how to
fix what's broken.
Fix what's broken. Basically, create an inflammatory response to heal tissue that's damaged, but not overreact would be tricky.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Hey, hello, Andrea in Soquel. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello, this is Andres. I heard that there's, after you do a 72-hour fast, your body starts to create its own stem cells and releasing them into the body. Have you heard anything about this, and how would it compare to what you're talking about in terms of the types of stem cells that are created and released?
I have not heard about how fasting can affect stem cells, but fasting, definitely there's a lot of research going into fasting and how that can affect our body overall. It's pretty exciting stuff, but I don't know how it would affect your stem cells.
Hmm. And where did you hear about that?
I just heard about it recently, like some university East Coast just found out about this. I don't have any more details than that, but
okay. Kind of curious. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Andres.
Let's go back and look at your vision for your Harbor Medical Clinic. You've been an emergency care physician for some time now. And
right.
What possessed you to open up here a new clinic?
So I've been working at Dominican Hospital for 6 years now in the emergency department and love it and don't see myself leaving that anytime soon. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of physicians, once you get established in your career, we're so used to kind of stretching our brain, exercising our brain and learning new things. It's fun to do something a little bit different. Many of my peers have roles in administration and IT and sports medicine, things like that. And I'm an osteopath by training and wanted to get back to more of the musculoskeletal treatment and the examination and the treatment and the care, ongoing care, which I don't get in the emergency department with patients. And this was a really neat avenue. And I actually talked to a couple of other physicians here in the area in Santa Cruz that were trying to do this for their own patients, but didn't feel like they were getting good at it, doing it for one patient here, one patient there. Mm. And they said, you know, if you're looking to start something up, this is something that's needed in the area. And I'm really excited to be able to try and help provide it. And I've now been doing it for almost a year with a very successful group out of Midwest that have been doing it for 40 plus years. And we're calling it Harbor Health Center. We're right down on Porter Street and have a great location and having a lot of fun.
Great. And so how many people are involved with the clinic at this point?
There's three of us so far. And we have a business manager that helps with the hyperbaric oxygen and kind of the back end stuff. I have my partner, Samantha Matthews. She helps with body work. She does a lot of other things with Parkinson's patients, with depression and traumatic brain injuries.
Yes, Samantha's amazing. I testify to that.
So I think we have a very good team.
Wonderful. Now, you also mentioned some other therapies that you're involved with, vampire makeover therapy. Now, what is that? Vampire makeover.
They come therapy. In after midnight, right?
Yeah.
On a full moon.
Exactly. We were mentioning a little bit earlier about how even stem cell therapy, like any new technology, can be pushed to the edge where it does become questionable. And one of the articles we discussed offline was about how using stem cells to treat autism by injecting it into the brain is just, it's still...
That's over the edge.
It's over the edge. Uh-huh. Well, using platelet-rich plasma, because it is now I can't pronounce the word, your own tissue, like we talked about.
Autologous.
Like we talked about before. Mm-hmm. It was promoted on Oprah and popular media with one of the Victoria's Secret models and with Kim Kardashian about how it can regenerate collagen and a youthful appearance. Mm. So some of the kind of somewhat related prolotherapy techniques would be the vampire makeovers, where you're putting your platelets in your plasma onto skin and using microderm needles to essentially kind of create a little inflammation in the skin with a little tiny penetrations in this pro-inflammatory agent from your own body. And that helps kind of build up the tissue and get rid of those little fine wrinkles.
Really? So it can make you look younger then? instead of a facelift, you can do this. So.
You can also inject this platelet-rich plasma under acne scar tissue and help with acne scars.
Wow.
You can mix it with things like Juvederm or fillers and actually fill in deeper wrinkles and actually help with even more cosmetic problems. It also is... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just being silly. Instead of facelifts, you're getting face inflammations.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a lot of new cosmetic things in it. It's amazing how, as we all become, the age hits us and we see look at ourselves in the mirror, everybody's like, what can we do? How can we invest in ourselves to stay healthier and look better and feel better?
Now, let me ask you this. I see a lot of claims being made for this. While I was researching for our interview today, there was an article about how it can help someone with their sex lives with stem cells. Is that, you know,
how do you know
you know what's true with this stuff? What would you suggest as a means of looking at what's real and what's obviously over the edge?
Yeah, it's hard to know. There's talks of something called the P shot, which is for the men, and the O shot, which would be for the women, which is using this platelet-rich plasma into groin tissue and try and enhance sexual function, sexual enjoyment. It's still something I have not really delved into much, so I can't discuss really a whole lot about because
it does sound like somebody invented it to sell more therapy.
It does sound like that.
Would you take a patient for such a thing?
I'd have to look into it more.
Yes, to see it. Look at it more holistically.
I'd have to look into it more because I don't know a lot of the case studies or what limited evidence is out there. I haven't looked at it.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like time for some undercover research.
Okay, we're talking to Dr. John Grady of the Harbor Health Center. This is the Dr. Future Show. We'll be back after the break on KSCL.
And stay on the line, folks. I promise we'll be back.
Give us a call, 479-1080, if any questions for Dr. Grady. Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking to Dr. John Grady of the Harbor Health Center. We have Billy Sunshine on the line, I believe. Welcome, Billy.
Hi, kids. How you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah. I came in the middle, so I don't know if you covered this, but can this therapy help with metastatic stage 4 cancer?
You know, that's something I've not heard of. I am not sure.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it would. I mean, you know, but... who knows? I just thought I'd ask.
It's definitely been used to help with wounds that aren't healing after treatment for cancer.
Yeah.
But I've not heard of it. I'm sure it would depend on the kind of cancer and where it's located, because we're talking about a therapy that's based on injecting pro-inflammatory agents. So getting the injection to the right location is going to be an issue.
Yes, exactly. Thanks for this, and really love the show. Love the futures.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys. I do have one more thing to say, though.
Oh, yeah. Was that
really? The other day, I was listening to you talk about this great machine you had with the visual stuff, and I was thinking, my God, I would have loved to have tried that. You have to invite me over when you have one of these things.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the VR here. Rig in our living room.
I'm dying over here.
All right, when it comes back, we'll let you know.
Stay tuned. We're putting a new one together. Get ready for that.
It's getting better. Right. Getting better all the time.
Yeah.
You got it,
Bill. Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
okay.
Bye-bye.
So, can stem cells get cancer?
Sure. You need essentially 3 mutations to get cancer. One to stop the breaks, so undifferentiated growth, and one to stimulate the growth, and then one to say you no longer need the other cells around you, the basement membrane and the other cells that create the foundation for your little environment, for you to metastasize to another location. So any way you can get 3 mutations, and you can have cancer off and running.
Hmm. And so if you have infected stem cells, can they increase the amount of cancer in a system then?
So we always talk about how people are, you know, Angelina Jolie had the BRCA defect. So even probably her stem cells had that BRCA defect and predisposed her to breast cancer and ovarian cancer.
Wow. Mm.
So that was one of those breaks that is taken off. She no longer has that break that tells that cell to stop growing when it's no longer needed to differentiate.
Oh, very interesting. Well, on a related topic, you mentioned during the break something called perineural injection therapy. Perineural, no.
It's actually called perineural.
Neural.
As in nerve,
oh,
around
okay.
the nerve.
Perineural.
So the acronym is PIT, and it's a perineural injection therapy, and it uses dextrose, like we talked about with prolotherapy, is a pro-inflammatory agent. But it also, we feel, it shuts down the sodium channels in the nerves, peripheral nerves that are unmyelinated, meaning they don't have sheaths around them. So they're not the nerves in your spinal cord or in your brain, but they're the ones pretty close to the surface of your skin. They can cause things like chronic pain. They call it a reflex sympathetic dystrophy, or phantom pains. They can cause chronic muscle spasms and cramps. We were talking a minute ago about a patient one of my instructors had who had cerebral palsy and had difficulty walking on the soles of his feet because his muscle contractures made it so he had to walk on the outside of his ankles. And just injecting those peripheral nerves in the in both legs, and he was able to walk out the door on the soles of his feet. Unlike prolotherapy and the other techniques we talked about that do take time, sometimes weeks, to actually get the healing process, this is something that can be miraculous because it's almost instantaneous. You shut back that feedback loop between the peripheral nerve and the brain.
The nerve feedback loops.
Exactly.
What about the mind in the equation with this? Do you combine any of these with any type of relaxation exercises or meditation process? Does that make any difference in the function?
You're on the bleeding edge. You're probably right, but it's something we need more numbers, need more experience with it. Like any of these techniques that have developed in medicine over time, we improve them, we try little things. You know, does this patient do better with, you know, treatment A or treatment B? So I think there's a lot of potential for that, but we just
receptivity,
don't have enough experience.
Biofeedback loops.
Yeah.
That's all part of the future.
And, you know, they're using that with things like this reflex sympathetic dystrophy. A lot of antidepressant, anti-anxiety medications are being used. But, yeah, there's got to be better things than just more pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. Well, which brings another idea. Whether or not stem cell therapy be used for preventative medicine.
That's an interesting question.
Like aging itself.
Yeah, prevent the aging process.
if you know you're going to have a predisposition for something.
So for your once every 5 or 10 year tune-up, you get stem cells injected in all your joints.
Yeah, you're...
That would be an interesting...
Boost your memory a little bit, you know.
Right now, we haven't gotten to the point where people are trying that I know of. It's more...
It's more for problems
after
that people
the fact,
have.
Yeah. I think it may have the potential to really benefit preventatively, prophylactically, is people who have known issues. Say you have one leg that's shorter, or you have some, you know, inherent thing in your body that makes you predisposed to injury in one location. That might make a lot of sense. So if you get hip pain because you have one leg that's shorter, you're born that way, or you had an accident in childhood, yeah, then it might make a lot of sense before that pain even starts or gets bad to help prevent that by strengthening those ligaments and tendons around that area. That has a lot of intuitive logic to it.
Like, what about someone who, like a lot of people who have hip replacements, then what if they had started a little bit of preventative stem cells in their 50s?
Exactly. Another example would be those athletes that are using their body to the extreme, and we know they're damaging things. Would it help to give them a therapy a month before a big event, before an ultra marathon? There's some logic to that.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much a big question mark still as to what's...
It's like growing some bumpers for your bones before you go out and pound them.
Well, like those Tour de France riders that inject their own blood in them to get extra oxygen carrying capacity, I could definitely see some of these pro athletes saying, hey, well, I'm just going to give this a try and make my ligaments and tendons a little extra strong.
Yeah, exactly. Or if you're, a weightlifter and you want to...
Perfect example.
You want to lift more. I mean, they try everything. They go steroids.
I treat weightlifters now, and I usually treat them after the fact when they have a little tendonitis. But yeah, they're like any extreme athlete looking for every advantage possible.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So you could, it could be work preventatively, or I guess it's not preventative there.
We call it prophylactically.
Prophylactically.
Yes.
Okay. So what's next for you at the clinic? Do you see it as something that you want to expand and grow?
Definitely. We actually have Groupon and Yelp specials going on right now. We're trying to build the business, make it sustainable. As I mentioned earlier, I don't see myself leaving the emergency department permanently, but I would love to do several days a week in the clinic helping people. And there's just so many things to experiment. I enjoyed going to Honduras earlier this year and doing it for patients there in a free clinic. I look forward to learning more about it, helping more patients both here and internationally.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a lab there where you do the Prolo on site, or do you take it to the Dominican?
We do everything on site. I think we were mentioning earlier before the show started that the FDA has certain rules about how you can process tissues. Because we are using a person's own blood, their own tissues, we're not doing a lot of processing. There's not a lot of lab time. It's basically centrifuge in syringes and things like that. Everything we can do on site in just a matter of minutes. There is talk about using stem cells and sending them off to a lab and kind of giving them cytokines, growth factors, trying to differentiate them more into osteoblasts, fibroblasts, some of those cell lines we talked about before. Mm. But that, again, is very in its infancy. It's very, it's not very well understood. It's what it comes down to. Mm.
For those who are wondering about the cost of this, what do you tell them? How do you structure that?
Ballpark figures, and different providers are going to charge different amounts, and it depends on the joints and how many joints you're treating and things like that. But whereas prolotherapy is going to be in the low hundreds, platelet-rich plasma is going to be anywhere $1,000, $2,000, something like that. Again, the costs are more. There's more involved. There's centrifuge time, more supplies. And then the stem cell therapies, like your earlier caller mentioned, can be up to $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Mm-hmm. Because, again, there's a lot more costs involved, a lot more time. And
certainly, if that's an option as opposed to surgery, it might be worth exploring.
Yeah, surgery, typically, joint surgery is tens of thousands. Mm,
another factor.
What's the diagnostic process? People come in, they tell you where it hurts, and what happens then?
You get their medical records.
Correct. That's why doctors are doing it, and you know, medical doctors and not other providers, is you do have to look at the overall patient. There can be issues with depression, with things, you know, you want them to be able to recover well. You want to pick the right patient. So you need to look at what medications they're currently taking. Are they on blood thinners? There's a whole lot of factors you have to take into consideration. But then you need a good physical exam. You need to understand the anatomy. This is definitely very musculoskeletal.
Yeah, as an osteopath, procedure. How does this factor into your focus on this arena? The musculoskeletal first?
I get a lot of questions about how I ended up in this, and definitely the osteopathic background. I got a lot of additional training in musculoskeletal medicine, almost like a sports medicine doctor.
And so the fundamental precept of that is that's the core of your health, the musculoskeletal system?
Correct.
And then everything comes from that?
There's a term that it's a difficult to pronounce one, but it's tensegrity. I can't even pronounce it myself. Yes, you got it.
Tensegrity.
And what that...
Buckminster Fuller term.
That actually was coined by one of my instructors at the Hackett Hemel Patterson Foundation in Wisconsin about how the whole body is under tension. And if one part of the body gets injured, everything else has to increase tension to respond to it and keep balance, keep stability.
Hmm. Well, listen, we have to go now, but thanks you for being a guest on our show this week. How can people reach you? What's the best way to contact you?
Harbor Health Center. We are on Facebook. We're on the internet, and you know, have a nice website, and you can get us on Yelp now, too. We have a nice little video and promo of a great special going on Yelp, too.
Great. And do you have open house over?
We would love to have people out and have free consultation, see if any of our procedures and techniques are right for them.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, John, for being on the show.
Thank you.
To John Grady here at the Dr. Feature Show and the Harbor Health Center here in Santa Cruz. Thanks for listening, folks. Have a great week, and we look forward to chatting again next week before we take off for Canada.
This is the Dr. Feature Show on KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, Monterey, and wherever you are right now in the future.